This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
This is World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Just a little team here. G'day, Paul.
Hello, Matt.
I am indeed Matt. Now, it's hard to believe that it's only been a little over a week since the Orlando shootings. Our special show last week on the shootings has already become a very popular podcast and one that we are very proud of ourselves. And it is out of that pain and despair of that event that tonight's inspirational show comes from. Some good from the bad. Because one young 17-year-old in rural New Zealand has turned that horror into a show of pride.
How do you turn a pride parade from an idea to reality in just 5 days?
And what did the schoolmates of this young organiser think about his idea?
What does this determination for change say about the future for LGBT rights? To take us on the journey of hope in the land of the long white cloud, tonight we are speaking with Ethan Morse, a high school student from rural Tauranga
in New Zealand. And here's a taste of what you got coming up tonight.
Being only 17 and seeing yourself on national news is a bit weird, but it's immensely gratifying to know that someone from a small town can make such a huge impact, you know? And I think it just goes to show that you don't need thousands of dollars in funding and masses of resources to get a message out there. You can just use pure spirit and pure motivation.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
First to Turkey, Istanbul's annual Gay Pride Parade will not be allowed to go ahead this year for security reasons, so city administrators say. Now, this is one of the biggest Pride events in that part of the world. It attracts tens of thousands of people every year, and it was planned to take place on the 26th of June. There have been threats from conservative groups to intervene to stop the march. The administrators said such a meeting and demonstration march would not be allowed to take place by our government, taking into account the security of our citizens, in particular the participants, as well as public order.
However,
nice of them.
That's nice. Although in Turkey, being gay is not a crime, but hostility still remains widespread.
And one of the far-right youth groups has spoken out and said they would do whatever is needed to stop the event.
Yes, they said that they called on state officials to actually work for them, and they were ready to risk anything to take direct action to prevent the march from happening.
And this seems to have rattled the local LGBT community a bit. One of the gay rights activists was quoted in the media as saying that the LGBT community is a little divided about whether people should march or not, given these threats, not just due to the threats of the ultra-nationalists who might attack people, but there have been recent bombings and other attacks throughout Turkey and terrorist groups that are certainly on the rise.
Well, it's not just terrorist groups. I mean, last year the Pride March was broken up violently by the police with water cannon and rubber pellets. I mean, you've got your own authorities are breaking you up as well as the terrorists.
You're kind of penned in. And there was also a small march this week that was shut down by police riot squads as well. So not good news. We'll keep an eye on Turkey.
Slightly better news in Japan. There is growing support for LGBT people in Japan's schools. Now, according to a survey in 2015 of 70,000 Japanese men and women, 7.6% of them, or 1 in 13, considers them to be LGBTI.
Which is slightly actually above the old 1 in 10, rule of thumb thing.
At the school level, experts believe there is at least one LGBT child in every class, but many of the teachers lack proper understanding of the harassment that these pupils face.
And in fact, Human Rights Watch did a survey of some 450 Japanese LGBT people under the age of 25, and 86% of them said that they had been the victim of homophobic slurs and negative remarks. And get this,
some of it comes from the teachers.
From the teachers. One of the most common quotes, homosexuality is unnatural and morally undesirable.
Rebit, which is a Tokyo-based support group for LGBTI, is providing students with better understanding, students and teachers with a better understanding of sexual minorities.
Across to Europe, where the European Union member states, all 28 of them, have reached consensus on LGBT rights, and this is the first time in European history. They have come to agreement in the council saying that they will work against any discrimination against LGBT people, and they will ramp up pan-European efforts on equality.
I should say it's currently 28. It may go down to 27 shortly.
That's very true, those troubled British. Now, the EU actually already has some really good things in place for their members to abide by in terms of anti-discrimination protections, but LGBT equality, there's a bit more variability.
There's a lovely quote from the president of the council, "Gay rights and women's rights are human rights without any limits. Everyone has the right to be who they want to be, regardless of their background or origin."
Now, across in Mexico, this is a slightly dated story, but it has come to light since the Orlando shootings. And it deals with a gunman that opened fire into a crowd in a gay nightclub, injuring 12 people in a crowd of about 180. Now, officials have spoken out and said that it was nothing to do with it being a gay bar. It was all over drug sales. But LGBTI activists feel otherwise. And it's kind of led to debates over whether an American life is worth more than a Mexican life.
It's strange it took so long for this story to surface.
Indeed. It only came to light after Orlando. Now, Mexico has some pretty progressive laws. They've had gay marriage since 2009, so they're sort of ahead of the states there. But homophobia remains a very big issue in Mexico.
In brief, a Russian couple were detained in Moscow after leaving flowers and signing love wins outside the US embassy.
Across to Kenya, where a court has upheld the use of anal examinations to determine a suspect's sexual orientation.
Over in the United Kingdom, Prince William has posed on the front of a gay magazine.
And in the USA, a group of guardian angels larger than life angel wings formed a human chain at a funeral service for some of the Orlando victims to protect them against hateful signs and protests of the Westboro Baptist Church. And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to Worldwide Wave. Lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
You are on Worldwide Wave. Message has come in on Thanks 317, one of our regulars. Isn't it great that Prince William has shown better leadership with GLBTI issues than many conservative leaders here in Australia? A modern monarchy. P.S. I'm a Republican. Yeah, well, let's see where this goes. So he has appeared on the cover of a magazine, which is really positive, and I would hope that his generation is more progressive towards LGBT rights. But the Queen hasn't been a hugely outspoken friend.
Well, I'm thinking about where his mother's thoughts lied. He was quite progressive in the AIDS.
She certainly was.
And Harry certainly is Harry.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Tonight we're in Kiwi land, the land of the long white cloud, and we thought, Fun Fast Facts, we'll do six ways that New Zealand shows its pride. Kicking off now, the Hero Parade. Now, the Hero Parade doesn't run anymore, but it was pretty iconic back in the 90s. It was really was up there with the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, one of those real strong heyday parades. Hundreds of thousands of people would line the streets up there in Auckland.
I'm sorry, I missed it because it stopped in 2001.
Yeah, and like it was, again, another area where New Zealand is ahead of Australia. Prime ministers led the parade, so the Right Honourable Jenny Shipley and then the Right Honourable Helen Clark.
Rather than just attended and sort of waved.
That's right. Didn't just do the selfie and take off, unlike some. And they actually led the parade and have given it support. Now, they did go through some financial problems, so it...
yet again, like Sydney, like Mardi Gras.
So many do.
Yes.
However, Auckland Pride is still around, so it's a two-week event held in January each year. It aims to enhance the manner, as in M-A-N-A, which is like the power or the effectiveness, and the standing of the rainbow community in Auckland.
Now, if you like getting cold, there's the largest gay and lesbian winter pride in the Southern Hemisphere in Queenstown.
Which is Gay Ski Week New Zealand. Now, I've been across for that. Let me tell you, had a ball.
Après ski.
There was lots of... It was fun day and night, let's just say that. Wellington Pride. They have an event as a part of Wellington Pride. They have a march and it finishes in Out in the Park, which is a big festival like Carnival Day here.
Not forgetting Hamilton. They have a pride in September.
And also Christchurch Pride, which actually had to stop after the earthquake and they are currently in rebuilding. So that's six ways that New Zealand shows its pride. As we mentioned before, we had such a strong positive feedback to last week's special event on the Orlando shooting. You can still hear our podcast. It's online at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. I guess for us, it was a bit of an outlet. It was our way of dealing with a tragedy that really didn't seem to make any sense. In the rural town of Tauranga in New Zealand, a 17-year-old high school student by the name of Ethan Morse found his own way of dealing with this heartbreaking event by creating the town's first ever Pride March. We started by asking Ethan what rural Tauranga was like as a place to live and as a member of the LGBT community.
I like to describe Tauranga as the Florida of New Zealand, you know. It's kind of where a lot of old people like to come and retire. The warmest part of New Zealand, I'm pretty sure. So I'm surrounded by a lot of old people and old ideals, which as a young budding gay person is not the easiest to grow up around. But, you know, it's a lovely, warm kind of farming, lots of avocados and kiwi fruit farms around the place and orchards. So it's a lovely little place.
This all sprang up out of the Orlando shootings. How did the Orlando shootings impact you?
When I was thinking about starting something, it was hard to find the motivation to really get the cogs turning. But after the mass shootings, it made me question how forward-thinking as a society are we actually. We say we're progressive and we're forward-thinking and we are moving forward, but if something like this can still happen in our own society, then how can that be true? So I thought, you know, there's so much hate in this world, why not try and spread a bit of love?
And so out of that came Tauranga's first Pride parade? Is that the way we describe it?
Yeah, out of this kind of anger of what had happened, kind of sprung this amazing idea to try and not only increase the visibility of the local LGBT community because it's lacking in Tauranga, but kind of show to those around New Zealand and hopefully around the world that New Zealand is a happy place and we want to extend our love and our sympathies for those that were lost in the shootings.
So tell us what actually transpired for the event itself. What did you actually do?
So essentially, it was quite simple. I didn't want anything too extravagant because it would involve lots of logistics and getting the council involved and that would take months. And it actually, I started planning on the Monday and it happened the following Saturday. So it was only about 5-6 days of planning in between. So what I did was, There's a reserve in the main city, in the main street, and I just started from one end, walked to the other, and then walked back and, you know, said speeches and stuff like that.
That's young Ethan, the founder of Tauranga's first Pride Parade. We've got more from Ethan coming up, including how his little idea leapt onto the national stage of New Zealand. You're on Australia's Joy 94.9.
The tragedy in Orlando has shocked us all and devastated Orlando's LGBT community. Support from LGBT communities around the globe will help heal their pain. Joy 94.9 stands by Orlando, and we'd like to invite you to stand with us. Post your message of support on Joy's Facebook page, and we will send your message to the LGBT Centre in Orlando. Just search Joy 949 on Facebook and show the world we stand by Orlando.
I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse.
And if you need someone to talk to, contact Switchboard on 1800 184 527 or available via web chat at qlife.org.au between 3 p.m. and midnight 7 days a week. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
This is Ryan Reed from the International Gay Rodeo Association, saddling up with Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
You're on Worldwide Wave, your weekly fix of international LGBT news and current affairs. Tonight we've stopped off in New Zealand. Another message through. Thanks, Florence. The Prince and his wife are highly educated. They would have gay friends or seen experimentation at university. Great show. Interesting. That could cause some controversy. Broken here first on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, they all get up to all sorts of things at St. Andrews, yes.
And a membership in. Now, don't forget, it's still Radiothon. Take out your membership or renew your membership before 30 June and you're in the running to win a car.
A car?
A car. It's a Holden Spark from our great friends at Holden. So thank you, Henry. Welcome to the family here at Joy 94.9. Now, we are talking New Zealand tonight, and we've been speaking with Ethan Morse. Now, Ethan has been explaining how it was only 5 days between his first seed of an idea for Tauranga's first Pride Parade to the event actually happening itself. We asked him if the local LGBT community responded to his call and came out to support the event.
Oh, absolutely. It was, I think, over 300 people turned up on the day, which, if only five, six days can garner that much support, then I'd love to think how much a month or even a year of planning. But the amount of people that came, not only from the LGBT community, but came as allies, was amazing. I think because we're such an elderly-based community, it's hard for a lot of young people to come out and not feel as though they are entirely alone and isolated when coming out. So I think the march kind of helped put the word out there and let people know that if you're gay and you are young, you're not alone and you're not the only one that's going through something like this.
And tell us a bit about the support from allies. Did you have friends, families? Did you have just general public coming out in support?
Well, on the Wednesday, because I'm like head prefect at my local school, so I was able to speak to not only the staff, but the entire school body. So pretty much 100% of staff and students were fully supportive. And, you know, social media is an amazing thing. And when young people manage to get the word out on social media, it spreads like wildfire. So I had family from Auckland come down. I've had so much support from family and friends and teachers and just people. I've had some people come up to me on the street saying, it's amazing what you're doing. My son or my cousin is gay. I'm not personally gay, but I know what kind of struggle they go through, and I just want to thank you for doing something. So the support from not only the LGBT community, but from allies is just as amazing.
What about official support? Did you have politicians wanting to come along and lend their support?
I think because it was such short notice, getting kind of the high-profile names to come along was a bit hard, but I did have quite a few people from the District Health Board and people who had signed various laws and reforms regarding, you know, LGBT rights come along, and I think Diana Mariotto, who was a major part in the LGBT law reform, she came along. So it wasn't to the extent that I would hopefully like, but I think because it was such short notice, that's pretty good for what we got.
And you did also become a bit of a media celebrity, I mean, including interviews with overseas radio stations. How did you find how did you find that?
Being only 17 and seeing yourself on like national news is a bit weird, but it's immensely gratifying to know that someone from a small town can make such a huge impact, you know? And I think it just goes to show that you don't need thousands of dollars in funding and masses of resources to get a message out there. You can just use pure spirit and pure motivation to really make an impact on not only your own community, which I initially started, I just wanted to make people in my small town know that I was LGBT and there were people here who felt this way, but to be able to get that message to the entirety of New Zealand is crazy, and not only New Zealand but now Australia, hopefully.
And tell us a bit about your school too, because they seem to be incredibly supportive. Did that surprise you or did you expect that?
It wasn't surprising, mainly because last year in the running to be head prefect, I'd made sure to let students and staff know that I was all for LGBT rights, and I'd started a support group at the school, which has flourished, thank goodness. And I think I've always been so motivated to the LGBT cause, and so if when I went up and talked about I'm leading a march, people were not so surprised. They were more just like, oh, that's an awesome thing to do, Ethan. I'm good for you. And also I've been planning on flying a rainbow flag underneath the country flag on our school flagpole. So that's kind of the next thing I kind of want to do. It's not as big, but, you know, every step counts.
And you are very much an LGBT advocate at a very young age. What do you see as your future? What do you see some future in advocacy?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you should never stop fighting, even if I'm not particularly going to go into politics or law or anything, but I don't think that should stop me from fighting for the cause, you know? I'm probably going to go to university for theatre and philosophy, but I still think I have the ability to make change no matter what, and I'll obviously continue to be a fighter and try and make change rather than wait for change to come to me.
And I guess what you've done there has shown that there is some good that has come out of the Orlando shootings. Mm. We are sending messages from our listeners here across to the GLBT Centre in Orlando. Is there a message that you'd like to send to all those people in Florida?
Oh, wow. I'd just like to say that no matter how dark and how scared you might be and how alone you might feel, there is always someone there and there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. So don't be afraid to be who you are, and just know that all the way over here in little old New Zealand, we show our love, our support, and we send our sympathies, and we just want the world to be a happier place.
And I'm sure you are inspiring a lot of people here in Australia as well. Ethan, the organiser of the first ever Tauranga Pride Parade, thanks for speaking to us on World Wide Wave.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That was Ethan Morse, the 17-year-old school student turned media superstar and the founder of the rural Tauranga first ever Pride Parade.
What an inspiring young guy.
It was a great bit at the end, wasn't it?
It was, and very heartfelt, and that just seems to come through in everything he says and does. He does it from the heart, leads from the heart, which is just fantastic. And the other thing I took out of that, his school are just so supportive. Not only have they've elected a gay student as their head prefect, they've got the teachers and the students coming along to support the event, and they've got an LGBT support group at school. Isn't that just fantastic?
And I thought it was great that he didn't forget the oldies as well. He mentioned that the town does have an older population, but they still came out and supported him. It reminds me a bit about like Dalesford when they have chill out.
Well, that's right. So when the Dalesford, what we would call Dalesford Pride, but the Dalesford event, and they have the march around town, the whole town turns out.
Yeah, there might be a lot of gays and lesbians there, but there is the local The local community comes out and supports it as
Comes out and cheers and waves their flags. Now, coming up, we have got one of the funniest, rousing, most inspiring speeches you're likely to hear. So stick with us here on Worldwide Wave. You're on Joy 94.9.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Geoditch. Hello, this is Rosie Sagan, speaking to you all the way from Belfast in Northern Ireland on Worldwide Wave.
Now, messages coming in on SMS. What a fantastic initiative. I'm more optimistic about our future. So am I after that interview as well. Prince William and many posh kids in London like to experiment. Really? I wouldn't know.
Sounds like fun.
Florence, they're open to diversity. Actually, Florence says that's gorgeous. Memberships, Damien, you are now in the running. Damien from Golden Square in the running for the car, as is Melville from Paran. Welcome to the Joy family. You're in the running for the Holden Spark.
This is Eve from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
Now, we couldn't leave tonight. We're talking all things New Zealand, and we are entirely, entirely jealous of New Zealand and their ability to have passed a same-sex marriage law long, long before Australia and without the need for a $160 million plebiscite, just saying. Maurice Williamson is a Member of Parliament who gained worldwide notoriety in the good way by making a speech to Parliament. It's a good way. It's a speech that became the rainbow across my electorate speech. He made it during the same-sex marriage bill debate in New Zealand Parliament. And it's just such a rousing, positive thing. We thought this is another way that New Zealand shows pride.
Sir, I want to first of all congratulate Louisa Wall for this bill. And I want to say, sir, that the good news about the years in this Parliament is you learn to deflect all of the dreadful sort of fire and brimstone accusations that are going to happen, sir. I've had a reverend in my local electorate call, the gay onslaught will start the day after this bill is passed. Now, sir, we're really struggling to know what the gay onslaught will look like. We don't know if it'll come down the Pakuranga Highway as a series of troops or whether it'll be a gas that flows in over the electorate and locks us all in. I also, sir, had a Catholic priest tell me that I was supporting an unnatural act. I found that quite interesting coming from someone who's taken an oath of celibacy for his whole life. Celibacy, okay, we'll go with celibacy. Okay, I haven't done it, so I don't know what it's about. I also had a letter telling me I would burn in the fires of hell for eternity, and that was a bad mistake because I've got a degree in physics. I used the thermodynamic laws of physics. I put in my body weight and my humidity and so on. I assumed the furnace to be at 5,000 degrees and I will last for just on 2.1 seconds. It's hardly eternity. What do you think? And some more disgusting claims about what adoption would be. Well, sir, I've got three fantastic adopted kids. I know how good adoption is, and I found some of it just disgraceful. I found some of the bullying tactics really evil. And, sir, I gave up being scared of bullies when I was at primary school. However, a huge amount of the opposition was from moderates, from people who were concerned, who were seriously worried what this might do to the fabric of our society. I respect their concern. I respect their worry. They were worried about what it might do to their families and so on. Let me repeat to them now, sir. All we are doing with this bill is allowing two people who love each other to have that love recognised by way of marriage. That is all we are doing. We are not declaring nuclear war on a foreign state. We are not bringing a virus in that could wipe out our agriculture sector forever. We are allowing two people who love each other to have that recognised. And I can't see what's wrong with that for love nor money, sir. I just cannot. I cannot understand why someone would be opposed. I understand why people don't like what it is that others do. That's fine. We're all in that category. But I give a promise to those people who are opposed to this bill right now. I give you a watertight, guaranteed promise. The sun will still rise tomorrow. Your teenage daughter will still argue back with you as if she knows everything. Your mortgage will not grow. You will not have skin diseases or rashes or toads in your bed, sir. The world will just carry on. So don't make this into a big deal. This is fantastic for the people it affects, but for the rest of us, life will go on. And finally, can I say, sir, one of the messages I had was that this bill was the cause of our drought. This bill was the cause of our drought. Well, if any of you follow my Twitter account, you will see that in the Pakuranga electorate this morning, it was pouring with rain. We have the most enormous big gay rainbow across my electorate.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
I'm Stefan from Taiwan. You're listening to World Wide Wave.
Now, another thing that I thought of about New Zealand and showing pride and how they've beaten Australia, they had the first trans member of parliament, Georgina Bayer, and she was elected by a rural constituency in the south of New Zealand there. So, yeah, another one they've beaten us to it. Look, a big, huge thank you to our guest, 17-year-old Ethan Morse from Tauranga in New Zealand. Messages in tonight, Jeffrey Shannon, Gary J, Angel and Kun on Facebook, Florence 317, and all the memberships we've had on through the SMS and email.
We'd like to thank our podcaster. Now, you can find all our podcasts on joy.com/worldwidewave.
And a few more that have gone up. We put up the Bangladesh Root Barn Murder one, which was a really good show, and also an interview with the world's first gay-friendly mosque. Well, not the mosque, the guy that runs it.
Yes, be difficult to interview the mosque. But also the Orlando show that we did last week is also up as well.
Yeah, it's one we're very, very proud of. Do have a listen. It's very much worth it. Some sunshine music to take us out, Paul?
There is some sunshine music to take us out. It is Living on Sunshine by Plake.
We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Bye.
Chase the dark from my eyes. From the
thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Every dream, everything I thought I knew couldn't be, I couldn't have, I couldn't do it, turn around, it's coming true, because you love me. Nothing's gonna bring me down today. I'm living on sunshine.
Joy 94.9, Australia's best radio station.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.